New York's not going to be drilled 1:30, so others, we can help them too.
Can you wash dishes?
Guy from New York.
Romans 12. Verse 8, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I'm going to overemphasize the meaning of exhort and exhortation. It's to cause to pass from one state of being to another. Exhorting has nothing to do with criticizing somebody or, nagging. It has to do with causing them to pass in here, in their mind, to the place that their real being always is, on the mercy seat. So it has never, and I saw it yesterday, even after we talked about... somebody was criticizing or saying somebody should be different, whatever.
Shouldn't be doing
that. No, but it's not, it's exhortation is to cause, is to bring them back into eternity. Not, you got it? Everybody understand that? To cause to pass from one state of being to another. That's the whole meaning of the... That's why Hebrew is called Hebrew, because it's Eber. They came from another place, another side. You're doing it, Gary.
I'm doing it big time. It doesn't have to be with scriptural quotations. Probably best it's not. But the cause to pass can be just being there, just hanging with and giving comfort by your presence or something. It doesn't... It's a different sphere. Saying you shouldn't be thinking this way, or you ought to, blah blah blah, whatever.
All right. He that we did he that giveth, it means to impart, but it means, and again we spent a lot of time on the word simplicity, but we didn't really study it yesterday. Simplicity is haplotis in Greek, and it means to be free from any pretense. Now, when you look back and see how simplicity is used in the Greek language at the time, it meant obviously simplicity, but it meant singleness, mental honesty, the virtue of one who is free from pretense and hypocrisy. Spiritually, it means one who is not self-seeking. In fact, it means one who is not aware of themselves. There's no self-awareness. Openness of heart. And by that, the fruit of that simplicity is manifest generosity. Not just generosity with money, but generosity with their being. Remember Paul, when we read that scripture the other day, he said he's not just giving them words, he's giving them his very self. And so let's look at some of the places where simplicity is used. Let's go first to 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
Thank you.
Paul is talking to the Corinthians. He's talking about his own affliction. But then he says in verse 9, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. And it wasn't just meaning he physically was under a death sentence, which he was later, but it's we have the sentence of death in ourselves always. Therefore, there can never, if you have the sentence of death, there can never be entitlement. If there's a feeling of entitlement or self-awareness, you cannot be in simplicity. Now, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trusteth that he will yet deliver. Yea, also helping together by prayer for us, for the gift bestowed upon us by means of many persons, thanks be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing in this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshy wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, our manner of life in the world, and more abundantly to you word. It's this entire being of liberality and, as I said, manifest generosity, and that flowing of it is the only thing you have to do is look at your own body. If there is a cell in your body that is self-seeking, that self-seekingness is called cancer. Now, you can't, you got to get rid of the idea of what's going to happen to me. It's getting boring. If you have presented yourself the living sacrifice, if you have said to the Father, we as the temple are dedicated, then self-awareness has to be gone. And just as the human body, the cells all give, it's simpleness. There is never a conscious, there's not the slightest, in this being, there's never the slightest hint of any, in your body, of any self-awareness of a cell. If there were, you would be full of cancer. You would die. Do you really see this? It's self-awareness that must be repented of. Not the details. That's like the repentance of the world. Oh, I'm sorry, blah, blah. The fruit of that is then simplicity. What?
Well, I'm just catching it all.
All right, let's go then to 2 Corinthians verse chapter 8. Yeah, that's a good example.
Wait, what was the simplicity thing in the thing we read? Go down,
talk
about it later.
Like godly, with simplicity, verse 12.
Yeah, verse
12. Says that in simplicity.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's simple.
Okay, 8. Okay, verse chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace. That's a bad sentence. Moreover, brethren, we want you to know of the grace of God bestowed in the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Liberality there is hoplotes, simplicity translated elsewhere, okay? Liberality, generous spirit, manifest generosity.
If you're simple, simplicity just allows everything to flow out.
Amen.
There's
no dams. All right, go to the chapter 9. Verse 9. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in every thing to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. And there that word haplotes is bountifulness.
And that's simplicity.
It's haplotes, which is translated in Romans as simplicity. It was liberality before, now it's bountifulness. It's the same word. All right?
Why did they do that? They got like nine words for the same damn thing. I don't understand.
We got one word for
that. As I told you before, English is by far the worst language ever invented to understand spirit.
Who did that?
God, so that you would be tested.
Damn it.
Okay? I would long for this simplicity that if I named the name of Christ, I would be killed. That's simplicity in English to me. Now the test is so incredibly subtle because of this stupid language that there's only the singular thing that you have to remember. That's why it's so important you understand that there's only two domains. In which domain are you in? There's only time and space or eternity. The gift of life, the gift of God is eternal life. You have eternity now. But if you stay in time and space, speaking English, all you do is get bogged down.
Hawaiian's bad too.
I don't know about Hawaiian. Probably, it's probably worse. All right. Where are we? We just went...
9.
Now go to chapter 11. Chapter 11.
In 2 Corinthians?
Yeah. We got to read this whole chapter because this is kind of good.
11.
I got a bunch of rollover minutes. I've got about 3 hours of rollover minutes since Joyce-Anne isn't here. Okay. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, it's really important you understand that. If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received. In other words, he does the same thing in Galatians, because we have already received the Spirit. We already have the truth. The gospel is already within us. And here he's warning against those that preach another something that you didn't haven't already received. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. And therefore you corrupt your minds. Mm-hmm. Again, we'll see in a minute that by definition, anything that you have to learn, i.e. anything about God that you have to learn, is corrupted. Because the fullness is already within you. The anointing, the seed, the fruit of Pentecost, The fullness of this mystery is already within you. The only thing that's keeping you from its manifestation in the flesh is your mind. That's why we must be transfigured by the renewing of our mind. Renewing, anakinesis, a gradual conforming to that which already is.
Yeah, all your mind's trying to do is cover it up. But in teaching and hearing, you continually uncover it.
It's constant repentance.
Throw away,
yeah. Oh, okay.
The spirit, the whole sanctification is fundamentally unlearning everything. So that which already exists is revealed. That's why we have this treasure in broken vessels, earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. If we think we can learn something, or if you need time to get it together, then you have denied the fullness of God. Amen.
It's like if you don't know how to swim, you don't know you're buoyant. You fall in the water and you start thrashing around. You're already buoyant.
Amen.
He's working.
I was taking this word simplicity up here and putting those other words, bountiful or liberal. It just really explodes some of that meaning where your mind should be corrupted.
Without pretense. Without self-awareness.
Yeah. That's a big word.
All right. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now he's speaking foolishly. Go ahead and bear with him. Go ahead and bear with the idiot.
Speaking like you.
Let's keep your place here. I want to go to Galatians real quick. Galatians 1. It's just right after. Take a right. A few pages. Just a very few. Like two or three. Verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, which in other words is not really a gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so I now say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, you see again, it's this idea that you've received something you have not received. Well, that's an idiom. It sounds impossible, but what's happened is you come to the illusion that you have to learn something, and the scriptures are no longer the fullness of Christ. They are something that you do, then you're learning something, and therefore you're getting another gospel other than that you receive.
Faith in Christ is learned.
Faith of Christ is unlearned.
Right.
And the faith in Christ is like, that's carnality, which is not what God wants.
That's where a child begins, though. New believers can only start with faith in Christ.
You sure you want to go here?
I got a phone call myself.
It's very, that was kind of appropriate.
Wasn't that nice?
You know, they revealed the whole thing.
I'm not sure that the faith in Christ is carnality. That's just the entryway into the full thing. It's just,
if you stay like in faith in, instead of start living by the faith of.
Well, you didn't say that.
Okay. But the whole point of it is, if the fullness, there's no, the, remember what the word, you, the, we have received the adoption, huio thesios, the placing of the fullness of the Son. There, Jesus doesn't need to grow up. So it's never what you learn, and it's never the it's never belief in.
Yeah, he's complete in us now.
God is waiting, again, because of our rebellion, for belief of. We live by the faith of him, not faith in him.
I was talking to the boys yesterday about the Exodus, you know, where they put the blood on the doorposts and the difference between those two things they were doing. You know, we talked about they were eating, you know, the lamb inside the house, and they had the blood on the doorpost. And, you know, and it was like blood on the doorpost does one thing, but eating of the lamb is like the continuum,
amen,
you know, of everything. It was neat talking to him about this.
That's that huge argument I got in with Zola Levitt many years ago.
What is it?
Because he said it's all the blood, and I said, that just is the entryway. You must eat the lamb.
I don't get it.
No, never mind. Okay, where Bruce? Before I was so rudely interrupted. Okay, verse 4 again. For if he that cometh, we're back to 2 Corinthians. Did I say that?
No.
We're still in 2 Corinthians.
I know, but we went to Galatians for a while. Now we're back.
That's true, yeah.
All right. 2 Corinthians, verse 4. 11, verse 4. Which was what we just read. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Again, remember, an evangelist at this time, when he first went to any place, stayed 2 and 3 years. So his words were tested by his life. Not this, you know, anyway, then we can go there. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, so no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. If you transform yourself, and you transform yourself by learning instead of repenting. This is huge. That's why if you know, you've seen it before when someone says something, I've learned so much from you, Ollie. I want to cut their throat.
Figuratively.
Oh, I forgot we have a listening audience somewhere. That'd be a nice soundbite.
Yeah.
All right. You got a good idea of what simplicity is now? Let nothing confuse you. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now he that giveth, giveth with simplicity, without self-awareness. John has been telling the boys to about doing something and then telling no one. That's probably enough. Anybody, any response? Everybody understand perfectly?
Yeah, but I don't get the lamb thing. I promise I don't.
Ask your Bible study.
Ask your Bible study teacher. Between a goat and a lamb.
We'll get into it real big.
Tell you what, read Matthew 25.
Oh, okay.
And then see, toward at the end of it, it goes into this difference between a lamb and a goat.
Okay.
I was thinking about exhortation, the definition of exhortation.
My definition?
The one you gave this morning, the definition that came out of your mouth, that you move from one state to another. Is that pretty close?
One state of being to another.
Right. Well, this whole Bible study is an exhortation. I mean, that's what we go through every morning, being moved from one state to another. So it's like this is exhortation.
Amen. I pray it is. Boy, look at here. The witch of the lair has returned. I thought I'd wake you up when I made all that noise back there. Didn't I wake you up? Okay. Like when we were taking out the... Okay.
Now, the highly spoiled dog, the one in...
Take it, big guy, quickly.
Tessa, he thinks that 6 o'clock in the morning,
the munchies are... Well, I took her out every morning before.